We all know that mithril is a strong, silvery, light metal that brought great wealth to Khazad-dûm. But what actually is it? What properties does it possess? And is it only found in Khazad-dûm? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel we do deep dives, explanations and discussions about the world of The Lord of the Rings, as well as the best of other great fantasy books and TV shows, like A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. Mithril is a naturally occurring metallic substance found in Middle-earth. It is lightweight, hard-wearing, and yet malleable, able to be shaped into lots of different things, and long-lasting without tarnishing. This is how Gandalf describes it in The Lord of the Rings. All folk desired it. It could be beaten like copper, and polished like glass, and the dwarves could make of it a metal, light and yet harder than tempered steel. Its beauty was like to that of common silver, but the beauty of mithril did not tarnish or grow dim. In other words, it could be and was used to create some of the most beautiful treasures in the world because it could be moulded so easily and did not tarnish or grow dim. But it could also be used for the most practical of purposes, in weaponry and armour and in construction, making them strong and yet lightweight. The most famous use of mithril in the Legendarium is probably Bilbo's mithril mail shirt. Frodo wears it under his shirt for most of the story, and it saves his life when he gets struck by an orc spear. This is a good example of mithril in action. The fact that Frodo wears it all that time without anyone noticing shows how lightweight and thin it is, and obviously shiny but not luminous if nobody noticed it. And the fact that he survives the attack with just a bruise when Aragorn thinks it should have killed him shows how robust it is. It's also beautiful. When Aragorn holds it up in the torchlight, it is described as shimmering like the light upon a rippling sea, and with gems that glittered like stars. One of the three elven rings of power, Nenya, the Ring of Water, borne by Galadriel, was wrought of mithril, as were other works of beauty. One of the heirlooms of the line of kings from Elendil was the Star of Elendil, a jewel set on a fillet of mithril. And mithril was so malleable that it could even be woven into the decoration of the banner of Elendil that Arwen made for Aragorn during the War of the Ring. The elves of Eregion, led by Celebrimbor, who had a very friendly relationship with the dwarves of Khazad-dûm, made an alloy out of it called Ithildin, Star Moon, that was only visible by moonlight or starlight. Celebrimbor used it to do the design on the west gate of Khazad-dûm. We saw that in The Fellowship of the Ring. And if you want an idea of how hard-wearing the substance was, as well as beautiful, by the time the Fellowship reached the doors of Durin, that intricate design, open to all the elements, had survived for perhaps 5,000 years. It was used, too, for larger construction works. After the gates of Minas Tirith were destroyed during the Battle of the Pelennor Fields, they were rebuilt by Gimli and the dwarves, using mithril in part. Perhaps they used the mithril that Sauron had hoarded in Mordor. We know that he much coveted mithril and demanded that the orcs of Moria gave him all they found. And when in Rivendell, Bilbo sings a song about Vingolot, the ship Eärendil sails to Valinor, and then into the night sky. He sings that it was made from elven glass and mithril, which may just be hyperbole and legend, but given that he was singing it to Elrond, Eärendil's son, who will have seen him at a young age sail off in it, perhaps not. And finally, we should note that the guards of the Gate of Minas Tirith wore helmets made of mithril, heirlooms from the glory of old days, we're told. All of which suggests that mithril was quite easy to come by. It wasn't. At least once the dwarves had been thrown from Khazad-dûm by Durin's Bane, supply dried up. The scarcity of mithril, its adaptability, utility and beauty, made mithril valuable, very valuable. It became a rare commodity and its price skyrocketed. Gandalf estimated it to be worth 100 times that of gold, and that the mithril shirt Bilbo was given by Thorin, and which he later gave to Frodo, was worth more than the entire GDP of the Shire. Sauron hoarded it in Mordor, and King Tar-Telamita of Numenor is said to have commanded his servants to ever search for it. While the dwarves had some kind of a monopoly over its production, they grew ridiculously rich. So, you may ask, if it was so valuable and rare, How come it was used to build boats and for guard helmets and things like that? Did the dwarves of Khazad-dûm really let all of that mithril out there? Well, there are 2 points here. First, the scarcity and value of mithril only really hit towards the end of the Third Age when the dwarves could no longer mine it. And second, we should probably note that although we often think of mithril as only occurring in the vein of ore under the Misty Mountains, that doesn't seem to be what Tolkien thought. In The Disaster of the Gladden Fields, written after The Lord of the Rings and found in the Book of Unfinished Tales, Tolkien randomly mentions mithril, and there is a curious footnote affirming that that metal was also found in Numenor, hence I assume the Gondorian guard helmets being remnants of the glory of Numenor. Most scholars assume that as Vingolot was part made of mithril, it must also be in Aman for the Valar to use. There are also draft notes Tolkien made for The Lord of the Rings that suggest it was also found rarely and scantily in the Blue Mountains and far eastern mountain ranges, so actually quite a few places, which at first glance may seem at odds with Gandalf's assertion in The Fellowship of the Ring, while in Moria, that here alone in the world was found Moria silver, or true silver as some have called it. Mithril is the Elvish name. So was it only found in Moria, or was it in other places too? Thankfully, there is a straightforward answer to this. Gandalf was replying to a question about why the dwarves kept trying to reclaim Moria after they had been forced out by Durin's Bane, the Balrog, in the mid to late Third Age. Perhaps there had once been mithril elsewhere in the world, in Valinor and Numenor. That's what Tolkien clearly suggested. It may even have been in traces elsewhere, but both Valinor and Numenor were no longer in the world when Gandalf was talking, and the rare and scanty traces elsewhere would soon run out, so he was right that it was to be found nowhere else. Khazad-dûm was always the main place where you could find mithril, and the dwarves were the undoubted masters at mining and manipulating it. In the Second Age, it was probably also found elsewhere in smaller quantities. In the Third Age, only Khazad-dûm had open seams. And I like this. Mithril is the source of Khazad-dûm's glory and power, not because the dwarves accidentally stumbled across the only place it was, or because of some deus ex machina imbibing it with special powers from a Silmaril and lightning or whatever. No, mithril was naturally occurring. It had always been there. It was elsewhere, but because Durin's folk found the best seam and were simply the best at mining and using it, it became their pride. This was one of the things that set them apart, something they achieved on their own without any outside influence. The Noldorin elves only settled in Eregion in the first place because the dwarves found mithril, and Celebrimbor and the elves came up with an alloy to use it in even more wondrous ways, but it was the mithril itself and what the dwarves could do with it that was the wonder. Their prudent control of supply and usage made its value skyrocket. As an addendum to this, at some point after the year 171 of the Fourth Age, long after the story of the Lord of the Rings, Durin's folk, led by Durin the Seventh, reclaimed Khazad-dûm. With the Balrog gone and the orcs hamstrung by Sauron's defeat, they could once more take control of their city and restart mining. I like to think that they returned to that seam of mithril, and in time the halls and chambers of that land gleamed with glory once more, as when Aragorn held up Frodo's shirt, shimmering like the light upon a rippling sea. If you'd like to see more videos about Tolkien's Legendarium, please click on the link to the playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of the screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.